Welcome, everybody. My name's Adam Braden, and this is Didi Dugar.
Hey, guys.
And we're going to show you how to take an existing enterprise application and modernize it in three easy steps. First off, who all has existing WinForms, WPF applications in their enterprise and are interested in, like, what the hell do I do with this thing, right? And so what we think of in terms of our goal here is to actually show you how easy it is to take that first step. You know, there's a lot of options you can in terms of modernizing your application. A lot of these options are very a la carte, though. You can pick and choose what makes sense for you and your applications. But a lot of times the entry point for us is really about getting into containers. Containers on the client side and containers in the middle tier. And that's really the starting point because it really helps with managing the deployment and dependencies of your applications. Let's see here. Another thing to remember, because of MSIX, because of containers, two of these steps do not involve any changes to the existing client code, right? You don't have to just touch that code. And so really with MSIX on the container, the application side, and Windows Server containers on the middle tier, you can modernize it without actually touching your code. And lastly, we talk about adding new functionality to the application, usually through REST APIs. That's where a lot of people are investing in their public surface area for modernizing their applications. So first off, why MSIX? Why would you bother with this? It was mentioned in the keynote yesterday and today, but the biggest thing that MSIX and application provides for you is really the ability to have no regrets for installing the application. We want the end user to be able to install the app and not worry that it's going to leave a ton of crud behind in their applications. Secondly, it's very simple. Everything is declared in the manifest file of what the application is going to use and what capabilities it's going to request from the user. It also provides versioning support and identity so that Windows 10 can manage that application for you. And lastly, it's fast. It leverages Delta updates so that it only installs the bits that have changed in the package. So if you're just changing content files or one binary of the package, only that package gets downloaded. For most LOB apps, this means it will require no changes to your code. For more details on this, I refer to the Andrew Klinik and John Vinsel's deep dive. They have a talk called MSIX Inside and Out. And there's also a link here to the community.
Awesome. So why containerize your middle tier? So for those of you who aren't super familiar with containers, a container is basically a lightweight executable package of your software that also contains all of your dependencies. So this is beneficial in a few different ways. One, you can easily deploy. Two, it really improves DevOps. Three, you can actually develop in the same environment as you're going to use in production, so that can eliminate future issues. And four, it makes it cloud ready. So by putting it in a container, you can easily deploy it to the cloud, and then you can easily scale out when in production you have that need. And so this is, containers are a really good first step into modernizing your middle tier. The second thing you could do is to add REST services. So a lot of you may have a WinForms WPF front end and something like a WCF service in the middle tier. And WCF is great. It's super flexible. A lot of people use it. But REST services are a little bit more of a lightweight option that can help you modernize, and maybe you don't need as much functionality as WCF provides for you. Also, it has a ubiquitous standard because it uses HTTP. And just like WSDL is kind of the definition language for WCF, Swagger is that language for REST services.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your modernization roadmap. Typically, you want to take your existing application, and as we mentioned, we recommend the first step is really getting it into a container. And from there, it satisfies a lot of the deployment and dependency problems, so you can integrate it with your DevOps scenarios and your continuous integration, CD environments. What you do from there is kind of up to you. once you go to the once you want to update the client side, you can continue to add functionality to the client side by integrating with the Microsoft Graph. You can integrate with Windows 10 APIs like live tiles and notifications. Also, we announced this week about updating your applications with modern UI, so now you can leverage Win10 UI in those existing WCF and, WinForms and WPF applications. That's important if you want to do things like inking or the modern media controls. And lastly, as we mentioned, adding REST APIs or extending new functionality to this application with REST APIs. And on the server side, by moving to containers, you can really decide when it's best for you to move to the cloud and reduce your infrastructure and IT costs. Also, you can start rewriting those existing services into microservices and further reduce some of your online service costs. What we're going to focus on in this talk, because we only got 20 minutes, is really about adding the container support and adding the REST APIs. First, a quick example of our prototypical WinForms WCF application. We have a WinForms application talking to a WCF service that talks in the back end. To visualize this, we're going to use MSIX and an application container to solve our packaging and deployment problems for the front end. We're going to use Windows Server to make Windows Server containers to make it easy to deploy and scale out the middle tier in the cloud. And lastly, we'll add a REST service to the application and extend that functionality in the client application. So that's what we're going to demo here. One option I will mention, though, as I talked about, once you've done some of this, you can do additional functionality with Windows 10 APIs like media player and notifications. You can call the Microsoft Graph. And also, I'll call out the .NET standard in this example. The more code you write against .NET Core and .NET standard, the more code you can share with your different endpoints. So if you want to take these applications or parts of these applications and share code to different devices, you can. So let's get into the demos. Enough talk. We'll have three demos. I'll show you how to add an MSI package to your application. And Aditi will show you how to containerize the middle tier and add a reference. For modernizing your application, the front end, it's really three easy steps. You add a new packaging project, the Windows Application Packaging Project, to the solution. You add a reference to the project you want to package in the Application Packaging Project. Set that as startup and then run it. Let me show you how that's done. So what I've got here is our WinForms WCF application, and it's a simple catalog inventory management app. You can see I can scroll through this. I've already got it up and running. Couple things you can tell that it's a normal standard desktop application is the icon is that beautiful WinForms icon. And if I go to the task manager, if I view details and go to my application, you'll see that it does not have a package name. All Win32 apps don't have package names. It's only applications that are packaged have a package name. So let's modernize this, as I mentioned. If I go to Visual Studio and right-click on my solution, add, new project, and under the Windows Universal node, you'll notice that there's this Windows Application Packaging Project template. I'll choose that. I'll give it an easy to remember name, eShop package, and hit enter. It's now asking me what versions of Windows 10 I want to target as my minimum. Those versions look fine. That's, I think, RS1 and above. And so now you'll see that I've created a new project in my solution. It has four different nodes on it. One is the manifest. That's that manifest that I told you that you can use to define what capabilities your application uses, and it gives it identity with Windows 10. There's a certificate. There's assets. If you're familiar with the Universal Windows apps, these are just the default assets for any kind of packaged application. You notice it's a lovely empty X box. But the most important for this demo is the application node. If you click on that and choose Add Reference, now I'm presented with a dialog of which projects I want to package in my solution. Here I'll choose the WinForms application because that's my client's application in this sample. And choose OK. And you'll notice that it's now added as a reference to this node. In this solution now, if I set it as startup, and if I hit Control F5 to run it, what the packaging project is doing now is that it's taking the WinForms application, it's putting it inside the package, it's updating the manifest with the information about the WinForms application, and it's building the MSIX package for you. And then deploys that application to Windows 10 so that Windows 10 knows about it. And any moment here, it should start up. The first time deploying a package takes a little bit longer than the standard Win32 application. And it said deploy succeeded. Where is it? Let's try that one more time. Okay, let me try debugging it this time. All right, for some reason, Control F5 didn't work right. Oh, wait, now it's coming up. I got two versions of it. My apologies. Oh, wait, that's the, okay. So there's a little delay there. I got too excited. It is up and running now. You'll notice I have eShop WinForms. It looks exactly like our Win32 WinForms application. That's because it is the same application. You'll notice, though, a couple things have changed. The visual asset in the taskbar is now the Universal Windows default image asset. We can also check in the task manager, and we'll notice that it now has packaged, meaning it has identity with Windows 10, and Windows 10 can manage this application. And so if I end this, we'll end that, and I'll end that. And we will switch back. So that's it with managing the client side. And so in three easy steps here, we showed you how to update your client side of your applications by adding a packaging project, adding the appropriate reference to the WinForms client app, and then setting it to startup and building. That's for debugging purposes. When you're ready to deploy to your enterprise, you can go ahead and build those packages and deploy to your enterprise as well.
Awesome. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about the middle tier. So the first thing I'm going to show you is how to actually containerize your app in Visual Studio. It's a pretty simple process. We're going to right-click, add Docker support, set Docker as that startup project, and update our IP address and our client side so that we're actually running from the container instead of locally. So let me go ahead and show you how to do this.
Switch?
Yeah. Thank you. So I have the same app up and running that Adam was showing you before. And if we go to my browser here and take a look at this service, you can see that I'm actually just running it locally in localhost. So now if we exit out of here and I want to add Docker support, all I need to do is right-click on the service, say Add Docker support, and this is going to auto-generate a few files. So I need to add in a little bit of configuration code in all of the files that are auto-generated. So I'm going to go ahead and do this and start at the project, and then go back and kind of explain what I added in, because the containers will take a few minutes to start up. So I'll add this into my main Docker file here. And then in my Docker Compose file, I will add this. And add this. Okay, so now I'm going to set, this has already been set up in my startup project, and so I'm going to start this up and go back into these files to show you what I added. So in this main Docker file here, what's important to note is that we're using this Microsoft/WCF image because we're containerizing the WCF service. And this is based on a Windows Server Core image. And then I added in this configuration right here. And this is just some additional configuration that needs to be done for this specific image. And all of this is documented with Microsoft's images on Docker Hub. So this is pretty easy to find. And it's really just a copy paste of the configuration code. The second thing I did in this Docker Compose file was add dependency on SQL data. So when it auto-generated the files, I only right-clicked on my WCF service. So that's the only image that it was referencing. And so I actually need to go in and add the dependency because I want to containerize my backend as well with my SQL database. So I have this depends on SQL data, and it's referencing the SQL Server image right here. And then the last thing I did was add in some additional environmental variables into my Docker Compose override file. And these environmental variables are specifying the connection string for the SQL Server. It's also specifying the port that I want to expose. So as you can see, I did have to do a little bit of configuration for the Docker files, but I didn't change my app code at all. These are just text files, so I could have opened them in Notepad and just kind of written everything up, and that would have been really easy to do. So containerizing is actually not as hard as people may think, and a really great step to modernizing your app. So this Docker service is now coming up. It's going to launch that same catalog service that I was running locally before, but it's now going to be running at this IP address. So now I can grab this IP here and go back to my app config file that's part of my WinForms application, replace this endpoint address, set this as my startup project, and F5. And now when the WinForms project comes up, it's actually going to be running in that container. And just to prove that we actually are running in containers, if I go to my command prompt and type Docker PS, you can see that I have these two containers up here, that WCF service and the SQL Server. So you can actually see proof that they're up and running. So my WinForms project has come up, and you can see the exact same app as we had before. Pretty simple. Switch.
So there you go.
Oops.
Point it this way.
There we go. So the next thing I'm going to do is add that REST API client like we talked about before. And that's going to involve some changes to both the middle tier and the client side. So let me go ahead and show you how to do that. So let's say in the same application, I have a tracking service that I want to implement. So I get my shipments from UPS or FedEx, and I want to see what all my upcoming shipments are. So they have a third-party database that I'm going to write a REST service to be able to call to. So if I exit out of here, the first step here would be to create a web API. So I've actually already done this. It's called tracking service. And if I go to my tracking controller, here, you can see that it's going to route to this API/tracking URL. And it has a couple different methods, a get method to get all the items, and this put method here to update items if I want to. So like I was saying before, the language, the definition language for REST services is Swagger. So to enable Swagger code, I actually have to go ahead and add a NuGet package. So I've installed this swashbuckle NuGet package, which really just gives you Swagger tools for documenting your API. So now that I've installed that, I can go back to my startup.cs project in my web API, and I can uncomment the Swagger code that I've already written.
Mm-hmm. 2 minutes. Okay.
And
keep going.
If I set this as my startup project and start it up, we'll have the tracking service that will pull up. And the Swagger definition will allow me to actually explore this in a way that's pretty easy to visualize. So it'll come up with a UI in a minute. So you can see here that I have those get and put methods like I was showing before. And this is just going to return the JSON for the items in my catalog. So now if I go back here to my client side, to my project, I can actually make the modifications in my client side. So what I'm going to do here is right click and say add REST API client. And I just copied that URL from the page that I was showing you. And I'm going to navigate to the actual JSON and rename this tracking service reference. Click OK. Fail to download files.
HTTP?
Maybe I didn't grab the full URL.
HTTP, I think.
Yeah, that's probably what happened. Nope, this is not working. Unfortunate. Let me try this one more time and just refresh. Maybe I grabbed this wrong. And v1 swagger.json and say tracking service reference. There we go. I must have just grabbed the URL wrong in the first place.
Demo gremlins.
Of course. And so now when I add this, it's auto-generated this file. It's recreated that same tracking item class. And these three files here are just referencing that web API. So now if I go into the code where I'm actually trying to call the shipments, and I go in here and say view code, I can uncomment using this tracking service reference. And the code down here that I've actually used to populate the grid view that I was showing you earlier. And now if I set this back as my startup project and hit Control F5, the WinForms project will pop up. It's going to be the same as you saw before, but now we've actually enabled the service for the third tab, which is the tracking service. And this is built on top of my WCF service that's actually calling those main items in the catalog initially. So I go to my tracking tab, press see upcoming shipments, and this will populate here are my catalog items, are these on track, are these delayed, and my tracking number and all the information that I need.
Okay, so we're pretty much out of time. We went a little bit over. Thank you for your time. Here's some reference links for you on how to get started with updating your enterprise applications for getting into containers, both on the client end plus the middle tier, and also some information on how to extend your application with REST APIs. Finally, there's also some very informative related talks about MSIX and containers that you should definitely attend or view the offline content. And lastly, if you have, or please provide us feedback. We want to know if this was useful to you and how we can make this content better. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.